Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill, and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill in prison, not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, saying, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin simply by formally and publicly thanking Father Bob, and though of course they're not with us right now, Fathers Aiello and Hoffman and Hess, and of course our own Father Ronaldo, everybody who's made it possible for me to have this time off to be able to recover. I don't want to set up false expectations. I'm not back to the full yet. In fact, my doctor's a little bit angry with me, but he cleared me for an 8 to 10 minute homily. If I stand on one foot, yeah, you got it. And he said, "And Father, err on the side of 8. I don't know very much about sheep, or about goats, for that matter. Like most of us growing up here in Iowa, I have some vague attachment to farming. In the summers, us kids would get farmed out to the uncles that were still on farms. But like most people in Iowa, my uncles all had hogs and cattle. Toward the end, I think after he got tired of hogs, my Uncle Tom did get a little bit into sheep, So I have at least been present for lambing and shearing and even cutting, but I'm not a shepherd, at least not in the ordinary sense. What I do gather, however, from what little experience I have of sheep on my uncle's farm and of goats, mostly like in petting zoos and hippie farms, is something like this. Sheep are docile, and goats are stubborn. Hear me out here. Sheep are often portrayed as stupid or weak-minded or easily led, but what little experience I do have with sheep tells me that's not quite true. My uncle Tom could call out and the sheep would follow, and I could shout there all day long and the sheep would never respond, and that's literally better than my dog, because I can call Reggie, or you can call Reggie, or you can call Reggie, and he'll come a-running. The science bears it out, too. The experts up at Iowa State say that sheep can recognize up to 50 distinct human faces over a period of 10 years. Every time I run into a high school classmate at Walmart, I'm caught and don't know their name. So the sheep know something that we don't. The sheep are not so much stupid or easily led as docile and quick to learn. Sheep learn their lessons and remember them. We sadly very often do not. Goats, on the other hand, are famously stubborn. Remember the three billy goats, Gruff. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm sure, actually I'm not, because there's less of you than there have been the last few weeks, but if the church were full, I could put solid money on there being at least one goat person in the group, probably who does yoga with them or something, and they would want to correct me and remind me of how smart goats are too, and how wonderful, and I'm sure goats are great, and they make very tasty cheese, but here's my primary experience of goats. When I was a college student at Loras, we used to leave Dubuque and drive out to New Mallory to go listen to the monks pray, and the last farm before you got to the monastery kept goats, and there was a goat who lived in the front yard who was the head goat, I don't know what he's called, the alpha goat, and that alpha goat would charge the highway and then get to the fence row, and he'd smack the front of the fence, and then he would run the whole way along the side of the fence row as we went down Highway 20, and he would follow all the way till the end of where the fence was and smack into the post. And he would do this every day, every time anybody drove by, and nobody ever moved the fence. Let that one sink in. Nobody ever moved the fence. Goats are stubborn. You'll never see a sheep do that. Now, read the gospel in light of those two images. I was hungry, he says to the sheep, and you gave me food. Thirsty, he says to the sheep, and you gave me drink. The sheep are commended not only for their generosity to the poor, but for their flexibility. They saw an unplanned for, an unanticipated need, and they answered it. They didn't stop to ask for justifications, to make sure that the hungry person hadn't just forgotten their lunch, to make sure that they hadn't forgotten a water bottle. They didn't establish that the person was going to use the food they gave them in exactly the right way. None of that. No, they simply responded to the need. They were willing to be changed. They were willing to learn. They saw a need, and they accommodated it, and so allowed themselves to be taught. But, he says to the goats, you gave me no food, no drink. You left me out in the cold, naked, and alone. You abandoned me to my own devices and whims and addictions. You left me out where you knew I would get no help, and you knew exactly what would happen. The goats refuse to be taught. They refuse to be changed. And they let others suffer. for their stubbornness. Part of the problem with the shepherd imagery we see all throughout the Bible is that we've sanitized it way past being useful. We've literally castrated the gospel, like my uncle cutting those undesirable sheep. Shepherds in the time of Jesus are not cozy characters for a nativity scene. They look, frankly, more like Father Aubrey. They're sort of wild and rangy characters who sleep out in the woods or Lee Township. They look more like Grizzly Adams, or the characters from Duck Dynasty. And when they walk into your tavern or caravanserai, people stand up and step back. Much like a biker gang today, you're not quite sure of what to expect. They literally smelled like their sheep because they slept with them in the wild. Kings, meanwhile, were generally not well regarded in the Old Testament. When the Jews first called for a king, God said, no. He'll tax your crops and your livestock, and he'll send your sons off to war. And they said, but Dad, really? And so he gave them a king who immediately taxed their crops and their livestock and sent their sons off to war. And David, whom everyone regards as the greatest of the kings of the Old Testament, was a rapist and a murderer. Let me say that again. The best of the group was the rapist and the murderer. So imagine how bad the bad ones were. In some ways, the whole of Israel's history can be read as a failure of human kings. What happens when we claim as king anyone but the Lord himself? Fortunately for us, that rapist and murderer was also a songwriter. And it is his song that we sang today between the lessons. Psalm 23 is so familiar, especially in our day for its use at funerals, that it too has sometimes lost its punch. Listen again. I know you know the words, but listen again as though you've never heard it before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't that sweet? In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. I don't know what most of that means, but it still sounds sweet. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Everything's gonna be all right. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. What? Wait. I fear no evil. Hang on a sec. For you are with me, your rod and your staff to comfort me. I'm still stuck on evil. You set a table before me in the sight of my foes. Who invited those guys? You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That sounds lovely, but what about the enemies over there? Indeed, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But what about, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for endless days. Do you see how fast we move past that tough stuff? Every time you've heard that at a funeral, you've not gone back and gone, well, yeah, but what about the enemies at the gate with the spears and the clubs and the... No. The psalm, which David wrote out of his experience as both a shepherd in his youth and a king as a grown-up, combines the two images. The shepherd is guarding, is guiding, is protecting the sheep, but he is also the king, God's anointed, who sets off to battle and rejoices in victory over his enemies. Jesus combines perfectly these two types, these two paradigms, these two images of being in the world, the wild, unconstrained, untamed protector, and the cool, calculating, considerate king. And he invites us into life with the same. At, you guessed it, this table. Beside the restful waters which have refreshed us in holy baptism, he has anointed our heads with the oil and seal of his Spirit. And so here our cup overflows in the sight of our foes and of our friends. The question is only this: what side of the table will I find myself sitting on? And am I still willing to be taught? There is a version of Psalm 23, which is familiar to most of our ears, even if we don't go to church very much. Though if you're here this morning, you probably go to church pretty much. The King of love my shepherd is, his goodness fails me never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. The Anglican priest who wrote this was a professional hymn writer. That's what he did. He had a real little country parish. You can still go there. It's pretty. Real little country parish that he spent most of his life in. So he just wrote hymns and wrote a pretty important hymn book, which is why we Catholics would know it. But he was never able to get that hard verse in the middle to work with the rhyme of the poem. And it is said, it was not published in the earliest editions of the hymn, it is said that these were his last words, what he spoke on his deathbed. And his dear friend, another priest, wrote it down. That's God cutting me off. I'm almost done. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, yet now in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, at home, rejoicing, brought me.